May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn 454. Thy presence, gracious God, afford. Prepare us to receive thy word. Now let thy voice engage our ear, and faith be mixed with what we hear. Thus, Lord, thy waiting servants bless, and crown thy gospel with success. Hymn 454.
the Lord open our eyes as we read from his word this evening, from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and we will read the whole of chapter 8, but we'll also read a few verses from the latter part of chapter 7. So we'll start reading from Romans chapter 7, and we'll begin reading at verse 18. The previous part of that chapter is really about man's weakness with in the flesh and in dealing with sin. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or that is, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. And may he help us and give us each now a spirit of real prayer. O most holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come this evening, a few poor sinners, come into thy house to worship thee. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Without thee we will mock thee this evening in our worship. O Lord, we are poor and we are needy. We are wretched. We are unworthy of the least of thy goodness, the least of thy attention. But we cannot begin to enter into the mysteries of thy free and sovereign grace. Why, in thy sovereign wisdom, thou hast seen fit to keep each one of us here to the means of grace. Why, when left to ourselves, we would be so far from this place. And yet, through thy remarkable workings unto us, we are here. But Lord, we need thee in our midst. For we feel this earth to be a wilderness unto us. We need thy light to guide us. We need thy words to teach us. We need thy strength to enable us to continue. We need thy wisdom to deal with all that is before us. And we need thy grace. We need thy love. We need thy compassion. But we also need thy chastening. We need thy keeping. O Lord, we need thee. We need thee. And thou knowest how we need thee. And we pray even this night, as we come into Swavesey Chapel tonight, we may come thinking we know what we need, but may we be able to trust in thee. For thou art far wiser than we are. And may our cry be, Lord, give me that food sufficient for me. Give me, Lord, that which is right for me this night. And Lord, we need it ourselves as we stand here, as much as the congregation do before us, and as we preach to them. Lord, may we preach to ourselves also, that none may go home empty, but that there may be a sufficiency in thy word this night. May it not just be another Sabbath day ticked off on the calendar. Another one gone. Oh Lord, May we go home strengthened, renewed, fed. Lord, may there be a crumb from off the Master's table. Oh, for even a crumb for a poor sinner will be sufficient. We need, Lord, that constant keeping. We need Thee day by day. We need Thee all our journey through. But can we not say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lord, we thank Thee that we have been kept and that the doors of this place have been kept open, that we can worship in Thy earthly courts, we can assemble in Thy house. O Lord, we are so thankful for these things, and may we not take them lightly as we fear we may have done all our lives. We know not how long it will be before we will be unable to preach the full gospel of Christ without that fear of persecution. As we see those things coming upon us and coming upon our land, where we will not be able to freely proclaim Thy word, Lord, touch our leaders. Cause them to see that Thou art the Lord God Almighty. Thou art the King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, may we be get our privileges of public worship be maintained unto us yet until the end of time. And may there truly be a hunger and a thirsting after righteousness. May there not be a contentness with the situation we are in, for we are living in sad and solemn days. Thy judgments are upon the nation of which we are a part. Thy judgments are upon the churches of which we are a part. So we must conclude that Thy judgments are upon us individually. O Lord, search our hearts, Lord, and reveal to us that which is offensive in Thy sight. That which we are doing wrong in our worship. Where have we forsaken Thee? Where have we left Thy ways? What is it that we seek after as we come into Thy house? What is the meaning of true worship? What is the meaning of Thy church? What are we even here for? O Lord, may we be given those eyes to see what we are here for. It is to praise Thee, to worship Thee, to honour and glorify Thy name. And if it is not Thee that we are worshipping, and Thee alone, it is an idol that we are worshipping. May we not be worshipping the idol of our own religion. May we not be worshipping the idol of our denomination. May we not be worshipping the idol of our forefathers. But may we only be worshipping Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity. Lord, may all else be stripped from us, that we may see Thee and Thee alone in our worship. We thank Thee, Lord, for all Thy kindnesses thus far unto us through this year. And as we see now, we have had those very cold spells. We now, in the last few days, have begun to see those signs of spring, reminding us that there will be the seed time, there will be the harvest, there will be the summer, there will be the winter, there will be the cold, and there will be the heat. A reminder that these promises alone will never fail, and nor will any of Thy promises. O Lord, may we build upon those promises, especially in these uncertain times in which we are in. For these things change not. Thy word that we have before us, which we should look to alone for instruction, changes not. Oh, give us the eyes to see that which is therein, and to build our hopes upon it. We pray for those that have come in this evening from other places of worship. O Lord, may that which is spoken this evening not mar that which is gone before, but may there be that realization that they are in their right place. We pray for those also not with us this evening, those who are at Oakington, and as there is one that goes through the waters of baptism this evening. Do be with her, we pray, and help her remove those fears that she may have. And although we are sure there is that sadness, that they are no longer here, O Lord, may we be given that humility to know that there is one that has been added to the one church, thy church. O Lord, we beg that those who have left thy house may be brought back to thy house. Those who have pursued wholeheartedly the pleasures of the world, cause them to see the futility of it and bring the prodigals back, that seats may once again be filled. We pray again for this village of Swavesey. Lord, do work in this village, and may many be brought in from outside to come with a true desire to worship thee. May we be given that grace within our hearts to accept them as they are, as poor sinners like we are, needing a precious Saviour. Oh Lord, we are so prone to look on the outward appearance, but thou dost look on the heart. It is a searching thought for us each. Lord, we may appear to be clean on the outside, but what is within? We are black. We are all sinners. We have all come short of the glory of God. So we pray that there may yet be a building up, a strengthening, and a renewing. That there may be that regeneration. That there may be a real prosperous work. We pray again for those in great affliction at this time. Thou knowest the individual needs of each one. One family in particular that we have on our minds, and we all have. O Lord, do be with them. May they truly know that thou art with them. May they truly feel that comfort from thee. And as the generations pass by, as the older ones become afflicted and are taken from our midst, and we alone are left, oh, what a solemn responsibility falls upon our shoulders. We thank thee for loving godly parents. We thank thee for praying parents. And we thank thee that thou dost know the right time to remove them from us. O Lord, we in our own self, and we speak personally, often kick against these things, but thou art far wiser than we are. And may we trust thee and thee alone for thy wisdom, and be enabled to say, as we read, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to thy purpose. These are easy things to pray, but Lord, do give each one the grace to walk them out. Sanctify the pathway. give submission to thy will, and do appear. But Lord, we each have our individual needs and pathways. Those with those hidden pathways, as we prayed this morning, oh Lord, appear for them. May there be a real unity in this church. May there be a real love one to another. A spirit of unity and a bond of peace. Lord, and we pray for the children, the young people again, Lord. Do provide those right partners for them in life's journey. Lord, and may there be those right pathways in work to follow given unto them. Those at school do help them, and may they each seek thee while they are young. Those simple prayers, may they be given that grace to pray them. May they feel that they are sinners, and may they know thee as their Saviour. We pray for those that minister here week after week. We pray for one expected to preach in the coming week. Be with him in his situation and his need. Thou knowest his pathway. And do be with all those that faithfully preach the gospel up and down this land today. Oh, may we yet, Lord, see thy hand. Oh, Lord, do now come and help us. As we feel our utter inability to utter another word, do give us strength. May we prove thy word is true, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And may we each live to prove it. Do, Lord, we pray, give the congregation a listening ear. Remove the distractions of the past week and of the coming week that may be upon their minds. O Lord, we beg, come, come, come and meet with us. Fill us with thy Holy Spirit. Pour in that we may be enabled to pour out. Lord, do remove, Lord, the dross that is within, that we may see thy word and thy word alone and see thee alone in it. Pray for those listening in at home this evening. O Lord, thou knowest their needs, thou knowest their fears and their thoughts. May there yet be that felt needs to come back to thy house and that willingness to enter again. Lord, we pray to help each one this night. Forgive all that we have asked amiss. And that which we have failed to ask for, O Lord, do make up in giving where we do fail. And we ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 971. Jesus, we our cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Naked, poor, despised, forsaken, thou from hence our all shalt be. Hymn 971.
Thank you.
greatly help us each this evening as we turn to his word. And I'll draw your attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 8. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 8. And we'll try and speak from verse 1. The Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the whole Word of God is the inspired Word of God. And is it right that we have favourite books of the Bible? Is it right that we have favourite chapters and favourite verses? Well, I'm sure we can each say that there are some books of the Bible we find to be more suitable for our case. Whether we love the Psalms, whether we love the Epistles, whether we love the Gospels, whether we love the Prophets, there is much instruction throughout the whole of Scripture. But it has been said by some that if the Word of God was a ring, then the book of Romans would be the diamond on the top of that ring. Now, I wouldn't necessarily go along with that. But there are some real precious verses contained in this book. There is much that is difficult at times to understand, to get our heads round, to work out exactly what the apostle is trying to say. But when we are given those clear eyes, when our eyes are opened to see what is before us, it's nothing else but the gospel, is it? And that's what we have. Paul writing to the Romans, presenting the gospel to this church. He starts off in the early chapters, doesn't he? Showing our lost state, showing that all are sinners, that all have come short of the glory of God, that none can fulfill the righteous demands of the law, that all are condemned. But it carries on, doesn't it? It carries on. And from chapters 3 onwards, how we may be saved, how we may be justified, how we can, at that great day of judgment, stand before a holy, just God. Through faith alone, through God's grace alone. We come to the two previous chapters, which we have not read. Chapters 6 and 7. how there is that freedom from the power of sin and the law. And yet, the child of God struggles. We read those few verses in Romans chapter 7, didn't we? Do you know anything of this? For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Do you ever make those solemn vows with yourself and say, I will now cease from this sin, from that sin. I will stop. I know this is wrong. I know that is wrong. I will no longer do it. Do you have the strength not to sin? Or do you have to prove, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. The law has done its work. The law has been a schoolmaster unto you, and it will drive you to the gospel. It will cause you to see you cannot fulfill the righteous law. You cannot fulfill these things at all. You are powerless. And you will know that in you, that is in your flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And even when you do those good things, even when you do those natural things which people will look upon you and say, oh yes, that's a good thing to do, what do you find in it? Pride, don't you? Filthy, stinking pride. Saying, yes, look how good I am. We have to prove sin is mixed in all we do. But as the hymn writer rightly points us out, points to us, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus. That's where we're to look. Look to Jesus. And as he closes that seventh chapter, he realizes his wretchedness. He realizes his great need. He realizes that even though this is the great Apostle Paul we are talking about, he needs to be delivered from the body of this death. But he thanks God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And as we go into chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The chapter starts, there is no condemnation, and ends in, there is no separation. And what blessed verses there are in between. But as we look to this first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That dear friends, is a word of hope. That, dear friends, is a word of assurance. That is a solid rock to build upon. There is therefore. And whenever you see the word therefore, you need to look to that which has gone before. And often that will be the preceding verses, but really in this case, it is the preceding seven chapters. Because of our fallen state, because of Christ's glorious, perfect work, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So as we look at this verse, we have a few words here that we need to pick out. There is therefore now no condemnation, but it doesn't stop there. If that verse consisted of just those first six words, no one would need to fear. You could all go home merrily on your way and do whatever you wanted to for the rest of your life. But the gospel does divide. The gospel is discriminatory. There is therefore now no condemnation to only a certain group of people, them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Well, you younger ones here this evening may think, what does that really mean? Well, if someone is condemned, they are sentenced in one regard. They are due a punishment. In certain countries where they have the death penalty for horrific crimes, it would be said that someone is condemned to death. That is their just punishment. That is what they deserve for the crime that they have committed. We've each committed crimes. We've each committed crimes against a holy God. God's law is perfect. He is completely holy. We cannot quibble with his law. We know what it is. We know what the penalty is if we don't keep it. But we also know we haven't kept it. And we also know we have no ability to keep it from this point onwards. As the hymn writer says, should sudden vengeance seize my breath, I must pronounce thee just in death. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. Yet, save a trembling sinner, Lord, whose hope still hovering round thy word would light on some sweet promise there, some sure support against despair. And this, dear friends, is one of those words. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is really, in one regard, the opposite to justification. Justification, where our sins are laid upon another. As one old minister used to say, it's just if I'd never sinned. Our sins are removed. Our sins are placed upon Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Accepted as righteous through the work of Jesus Christ. My eyes go to that verse 3 for a moment. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That is why the precious Lord God Almighty had to take on that humanity. He had to come and pay the price in human flesh. For that which has sinned must pay the penalty for that sin. And as we have sinned in body, mind, and soul, so the Lord Jesus Christ had to take on that human body, mind, and soul, that our sins may be upon him, may be imputed to him, and that his righteousness may be imputed to us. He took on the likeness of sinful flesh, but there was no sin in him, because he lived that perfect, sinless life that we could not. That the Lord's people could have that strength from this birth, knowing that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that's what we need to be cleansed from, isn't it? As the hymn writer says in hymn 143, and I may have quoted it this morning, I can't remember. Rock of ages, cleft for me. It seems to be much with me at the moment. And it was these lines: be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. We need to be cleansed from its guilt, and we need to be cleansed from its power also. Oh, and that is what the Apostle Paul felt in Romans chapter 7. He knew that he had been delivered from its guilt. He knew that he had been delivered from sin's guilt. But he still felt the power of sin over him. He still felt the battle within. He still felt that conflict. And that's what we all continue to feel. That conflict, that struggle between the new man of grace and the old man of sin. That conflict, the power of sin. As our justification will deliver us from the penalty of sin, our sanctification from the power. And it will only be at that glorification that we will be delivered from the presence of sin. Only then, there is no such thing, dear friends, as being brought to that state of perfection in this life, as some may teach. Don't ever fool yourselves to think that you will be perfect, because it will only distress you. Those that say that you reach that state of perfection, I don't know what book they read. They certainly don't read Romans chapter 7. For we'll constantly be bearing about that body of sin until that time of our glorification, where we will be removed from this earth to be with him in glory. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So, condemnation. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So really, isn't that the pivotal point of our text? Them which are in Christ Jesus. We can think, can't we, what it may mean to be in Christ Jesus. We tried to speak this afternoon, you younger ones that were here, or those that were listening, what it is to be in Christ Jesus, or to be joined with Christ, or to have that union with him, is to have that strong connection, isn't it? To have that flowing from him into you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. That connection, that point from which we draw our strength, we draw our comfort. And what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? How does it feel? Well, surely, if we are in Christ Jesus, we are blessed. We are truly blessed. And there is one minister that I believe preaches here still. He often quotes that hymn. I'm blessed, forever blessed. I cannot think how the rest of it goes, but it is we are clothed in his righteousness. We are blessed in him. And what does it mean to be blessed? To be in Christ Jesus? Well, can we not look, or is there no better place to look than to the Beatitudes, the blessings that Christ lays before those people he preached to in that perfect sermon? Who is it that is blessed? And there may be comfort for you in those. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Do you feel to be poor in your own strength? Do you feel to be, as we tried to speak from this morning, like a beggar with nothing? It's those that are blessed, dear friend. Those that are poor in and of themselves, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Well, let's look to the next one, shall we? Blessed are they that mourn. Well, that doesn't just mean naturally over natural grief. That means mourning over what? Over our sin. Is that you? Do you mourn over your sin? Mourn over the fact that you are not what you should be. You have no ability to be what you desire to be. Cannot attain to that which is set before you in the law. Causing you to cry out with the Apostle Paul that you are wretched. Those are blessed that mourn over their sin. Let's look further, shall we? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those that realise that if they do have any strength, it is not their own. It is given. It is a gift. Let's continue. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. Are you hungering? Are you thirsting after righteousness? And if you are, why? Because you know that your own righteousness is but as filthy rags. You need to be clothed in something that you do not have. But if you realize that, if you hunger after it, if you thirst after it, you are blessed. You are blessed because you have been brought to see. Your eyes have been opened to see. You're a sinner. You are poor. You are needy. You are guilty. You are condemned. You have no way of escape but through Christ Jesus. And what does he say? What does he say to those who feel like that? Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. We can only come by faith. We can only come as he draws. But has he drawn you? Is he drawing you? Has he opened your blind eyes to see exactly what you are? Can you come in with those beatitudes? Well, if you truly can, you are blessed. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if we are in Christ Jesus, what a place to be. He is that hiding place for us. He is that strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That name Christ Jesus is precious. It's that one thing needful. It's that only place that you can go to. It's that hiding place. And I do believe we may have even had that hymn this morning, did we? Hymn number 711, wasn't it? Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray, and let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ, my hiding place. Now, dear friends, your dear deacon, who gave that hymn out this morning, will have to prove that that hymn is true. That Christ, and Christ alone, is that hiding place in that time of need. And his special grace will be given. For he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He's a hiding place for his people. To those that are in Christ Jesus. And do you feel to need that hiding place? Constantly, don't you? Constantly, if you have been in the way many, many years, you still need that hiding place. You still need that place of security. Come back to this verse. Those that are in Christ Jesus, he will be that hiding place. In Christ Jesus, graft into him. One with him, that union with him. Married to Christ, that marriage union. My thoughts go to that verse that I have in the front of my hymn book from Samuel Rutherford. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. not at the crown he gifteth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. That union with the bride and the bridegroom. There is no closer union than that, is there? Oh, may we know that union with the Lamb. The Lamb, Christ Jesus, to be in Christ Jesus. But that bond can never be broken. That joint can never perish. As the hymn writer says, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. There is therefore now no condemnation, but there will never be condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But I hear you say, my love to him. I did know a little of his love. I trust I loved him in times past, but I feel my love has grown cold. Yes. Well, all I can say is it's a good job that it's his work and not ours then, isn't it, dear friend? Because if it was our work, if it was our salvation, if we had made ourselves righteous in the eyes of a holy God, and it was dependent upon our love, we would have no hope. But as the hymn writer again says, my life through many changes goes, his love no variation knows. It's not dependent on you. His love is perfect. His love changes not. His love is constant. That's why there is now no condemnation, and there will never be any condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But maybe you are saying to me, ah, but the verse carries on. It says, those who walk not after the flesh. And I constantly feel that I am pursuing the lusts of the flesh. Well, maybe you do. But so we will. All our days. Because we are not holy. And we will not be holy until that time of our glorification. Yes, the Spirit of God dwells within us, but we still have that conflict within. And may it ever be our desire that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I feel it is much lacking in my preaching. That need to grow, that need to mature, that needs to carry on in the way. The pilgrim's journey doesn't just stop at the day of our conversion. We may have many decades left. And oh, as we look for the trees to grow, as we look for the children to grow, to see signs of health. Oh, may we see it in ourselves and in those round about us. That growth in grace, that renewing and strengthening spiritually through his strength. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How do you feel, those of you who have been in the way many years? Well, how should we feel? As we go on, as the Lord works within his people, as he reveals more of his holiness, more of his righteousness, more of his law, his perfect work, what will it do to us? It will open our eyes to see that we are exceedingly sinful. It will not make us feel any better in and of ourselves. It will give us a lower and a lower and a lower and a lower view of ourselves. But if we are low, who is high? Christ Jesus. And that is what we look to. That is where we look. Although we are low, although we seem to be far worse than we used to be, if we are far worse than we used to be, and others can see that we are, then there is something drastically wrong. But if we have revealed inwardly the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the more it is opened up unto us, it will make us marvel all the more at his mercy. Cause us to say, why me? Why me, O blessed God? Why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation through free? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In looking at this word yesterday, there is no mention of the Spirit in Romans until this point. There are a couple of mentions of the Holy Ghost, but there is no mention of the work of the Spirit. Well, it's the same thing, but it's only a couple of mentions. But if you read through this 8th chapter, what do we find? The Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit, the work of the Spirit. In the Spirit, and so on. I don't know how many times it is, I lost count, but this is the point, dear friends. It's the Spirit's work, revealing the precious truths of the gospel unto your hearts, showing to you that you are nothing and that Christ is all. That's what this chapter's about. That's why this chapter is such strength to the Lord's people, for it's the gospel. It's the gospel. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's that beautiful work of Christ's atonement. Our sins laid upon him. And as we see our sins, may we see a suffering Saviour. May we see one who sweat those great drops of blood. One who bore the sins of his people. One who suffered, was mocked, was scourged, was spit upon. Suffered in body, mind and soul. Oh, may it be brought to our eyes. Then sin will not be a light thing. May we see a precious Saviour, a suitable Saviour, one that has paid that great price. My thoughts go as time is nearly gone to that hymn which says about payment God cannot twice demand. That's the point, dear friends. He has paid the price for his people's sins. He has paid the price for whose sins? Those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who feel their need of him. Those who trust him for his grace. We are filled with fear. we are filled with unbelief, lest it is not for us. But we have nothing to bring but our sin. From whence this fear and unbelief? Hast thou, O Father, put to grief thy spotless Son for me? And will the righteous judge of men condemn me for that debt of sin, which, Lord, was charged on thee? Complete atonement thou hast made, and to the utmost farthing paid whate'er thy people owed. How then can wrath on me take place, if sheltered in thy righteousness and sprinkled with thy blood? How, dear friends, how can we expect the wrath of Almighty God if we shelter in the rock, Christ Jesus? If thou hast my discharge procured, and freely in my room endured the whole of wrath divine, payment God cannot twice demand, first at my bleeding short his hand, and then again at mine. Dear friends, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If we have God on our side, if we can shelter under the precious blood of Christ Jesus, who can be against us? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? Nothing, dear friends, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. Poor, unworthy sinners, and we will be to our dying day, but we rest upon his work. Turn then, my soul, this hymn concludes, unto thy rest. The merits of thy great high priest speak peace and liberty. Trust in what? His efficacious blood, nor fear thy banishment from God, since Jesus died for thee. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As we draw our thoughts to a close, the devil cannot rob our salvation from us, but he does his utmost to rob us from the joy of it. He will keep on pointing you to yourself. He will say, it's not for you. You're not good enough. How can you stand before a holy God? Your love is not perfect. You do not trust him properly. You are too fearful. You are too unbelieving. You are this. You are that. You must know this doctrine. You must know that doctrine. How can you be called a child of God when you know absolutely nothing? What do you need to know? Let's strip these things back to basics. Are you a sinner? Are you condemned without a mediator? Do you feel your need of a precious Saviour? There is one that has died for you. And that death has paid the price. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding shortest hand, and then again at mine. If that price has been paid, which it has for all those who feel their true need of him, they are safe, safe, sheltering in his righteousness and his alone. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish will preach to us on Tuesday evening and again next Lord's Day at 10:30 and 6 o'clock, and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and give out the prizes. Our closing hymn is 940. Compared with Christ, in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Hymn 940.
dear Lord, to apply thy word by thy spirit, we pray. May each one see the beauty of thy dear Son, a precious, suitable, suffering Saviour, a precious Saviour indeed, and may he be the chiefest among 10,000 unto us. O dear Lord, that which has been of thee this day, thy pure word, do apply it to the hearts, we pray. Paul has planted, Apollos watered, but God must give the increase. May it be so. May there be a little that remains with one and another as they leave thy house now. May we not be caught up in the things of the world as we each, with fear, have to return to our daily duties. Go up with us, we pray, and leave us not. Now, may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.